Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Want to start hour two with a discussion of National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month. We want to welcome in author and speaker Kathy Borey and her book, The Long Hello, The Other Side of Alzheimer's. Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Jack. I'm very well. Thank you. You?
Just fine. You are speaking from where?
I'm in Vancouver, B.C., Canada.
Gotcha. It sounds a little bit Canadian with that accent. Want to talk a little bit about Alzheimer's and some of the misconceptions, some of the things that people do not understand or maybe think are the truth that are not really always the case.
Yes.
What can you tell us? What is the biggest thing that maybe people misperceive about Alzheimer's?
Well, Jack, from my perspective, which started out as a caregiver to my mother who had Alzheimer's for 7 years as well as Parkinson's, that's where my perspective comes from. And I think the main thing that I learned, and which in fact, Jack, I think that she taught me, was that people do not just go away, and this phrases like the long goodbye and the endless forgetting are not the whole picture, and that people continue to be human, they continue to have a personality and thoughts and feelings and emotions all the way through until they basically breathe their last breath. And I think that's one of the major disservices that people with Alzheimer's receive from these common stereotypic and very negative stereotypic phrases.
Kathy, you talk about more than 5 million Americans affected by Alzheimer's. Something tells me that number is only going to increase. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a lot about that that is still unclear. Certainly, people are living longer, and the longer we live, the more we'll see of different diseases emerging. If you used to die at 50, you didn't get old enough to have your brain deteriorate. I think that's part of it. I think part of it as well that the diagnosis is more clear. I think we used to, you know, a few decades ago call it senility, and now the diagnosis is clearer, and now it's called Alzheimer's. But I think there's a lot that the scientific community still does not know about it and why the numbers are rising. But those are some of the factors.
Kathy, can you explain the difference between Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia?
Well, not being a scientist, Jack, I can just sort of wing it. But basically, dementia is a catch-all term like the word cancer would be. So you might have colon cancer, and that's a type of cancer. And dementia is the umbrella group of changes in the brain, and Alzheimer's is a kind of dementia. However, it does comprise probably, I think it's the last statistic I was looking at, maybe 65% of all dementias. And they're still trying to figure out what that really means.
And the average age for onset of Alzheimer's is roughly what?
Well, I'm thinking it's probably in the 80s. There is also an early stage dementia where people can get it very, very young in their, you know, 30s, 40s. And there's a very strong family history component, genetic component associated with early stage. But I'm suspecting that probably mid-70s to 80s would be an average onset for Alzheimer's.
Kathy, in your book, you talk about the wisdom, the humor, all the other things associated with it that people do not normally imagine. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, yes, it's interesting, Jack. I used to take my mother to the same restaurant in the mall, and we were chatting one day, and caregiving hours can be long and very trying, and she started to say some so funny, such interesting things that I quickly wrote it down on a napkin, and what that did is inspire me to record our conversations, which I wouldn't have thought of, to be honest with you. And what happened was I just started to listen better. She loved being taped. She liked the attention, and I ended up hearing things I probably wouldn't have heard had I continued with my natural tendency to sort of interrupt and initiate and correct and, you know, no, Mom, that's not how it is. It's this way. And, you know, once you stop doing that, Jack, and really sit and listen, there are very interesting human beings with Alzheimer's sitting right in front of you, well worth listening to.
What determines what is remembered and what is forgotten? I know you're not a physician, but Are there certain things that Alzheimer's patients tend to remember and cling to, and other things that slip away?
I like that phrase, what is remembered and what is forgotten. I think that there are parts of the brains, that are less affected by Alzheimer's, and so people tend to go way back in time and remember their childhood and remember music and sort of stories from the earlier parts of their lives is very, very common. And of course that, when you think about it, those are very interesting stories. So what they tend to forget is things that happened, short-term memory things of today or yesterday or a few minutes ago. And somehow I think that maybe the earlier stories are well worth listening to it anyway.
And you talk about the humor, and some of it is designed and some of it is inadvertent. My mother had a form of dementia, and she was staying with us for a while. As I was pushing her in a wheelchair down the street, and we were going to go and get some ice cream, in fact, one night after dinner. And all of a sudden, she turned around and she said, "You know, you just don't hear much about Hitler anymore."
Oh, my gosh. You haven't forgotten that she said that.
I have not forgotten that. No, I have not.
Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. It was so funny. Have you got time for a little phrase that my mother said?
Sure.
Well, I it was two phrases. I was having man trouble, I said, "Well, what do you do if you love somebody but he doesn't love you?" And she said, "Find someone else." And then
wisdom.
Oh, very good. And then I said to her one day, "Why do people marry?" And without skipping a beat, she said, "Well, for two reasons. They want to fill up their boots, and they want to keep going, and they don't care where." So it's like your mother, right? People say very, I think she could have written a book on that.
Kathy, do a lot of Alzheimer's patients have peace and maybe a happier existence than we realize? To someone who does not have dementia, it would seem almost being trapped in a prison.
I think at first, Jack, when the changes start, it is really, really a difficult situation and very despairing. I think that then what happens is their disease progresses. I think a lot of that goes away and they can be very content. But I do feel very strongly that a lot of people's anxiety and despair comes from the way that the rest of us talk to them or don't talk to them or treat them, and our vision of who they are and who they are able to become. I think a lot of anxiety stems from those who are looking after them or caring for them or related to them.
It is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month. Kathy, can you give us information on how to get more details from the Alzheimer's Association and tell us how to get your book, The Long Hello?
Yes, Jack. I think Googling Alzheimer's Association will get you to the head office in basically any country and then the chapters in your areas, and they're a wonderful organization. For me, my books, I think the best place is to go to my website, www.CathieBorrie.com. And thank you, Jack. I love talking to you, and I love hearing about your mom.
Both names end in I-E, CathieBorrie. Thanks so much, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jack. Take care.